From the Lynn de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of March, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. Coming up, we'll talk about those reports, not only with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net, but also with Joe Jansen from the University of Illinois. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. This morning's reports project that U.S. farmers will plant 90 million acres of corn. That's down from the 91 million acre USDA Ag Forum estimate and below the 91.7 million acres that the trade was estimating. It also shows that farmers may very well plant 86.5 million acres of soybeans, below the forum number of 87.5, and right on the average trade guess. We'll talk about all of those in just a moment right here on Illinois Public Media. In the mean space, if you'd like to pick them up off of our website, you can see the state-by-state acreage breakdown as well at willag.org under the USDA Reports tab.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at 442. That was up 15 and a quarter. July, 15 and a quarter higher as well at 454 and a half a bushel. And new crop December, up 15 and a half cents at $4.77 and three quarters. Soybeans at $11.91 and a half in the May, a penny lower. July down 1 1/4 at 1205 and a quarter. And November soybeans, 1186 and a quarter, up 2 3/4 of a cent. Bean meal futures down $1.30. The bean oil 28 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat futures in the July up 13, settled at 575 and three quarters. The hard red at 585 and a quarter, up 7 cents for the day. The live cattle futures were $1.57 and a half higher. Feeders up 42.5 cents and lean hogs down 15 cents. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago Post report. USDA released the grain stocks and prospective plantings reports earlier today. Thanks for being with us, Matt. What were your first thoughts as the reports were released at 11 a.m. Central Time?
You see the 90 on corn. Of course, that catches your eye for sure. See the board, starting to race a little bit higher. That definitely jumped out first as I got through the report. You know, the bean acreage number, 86.5, isn't anything to write home about. It's pretty much what we thought was going to be the case. It is a big number. You know, we have to remember that. But whenever you get to looking, though, principal crop acres, down 6 million acres. I mean, holy buckets. I've been talking about principal crop acres being down all winter. I felt like we would see some of these acres just kind of vanish, so to speak. And the reason that I felt we'd see some of those vanish was just simply profit margins, ROI. Bottom line is whenever commodity prices are high, you tend to plant more acres of everything. And so I wasn't expecting 6 million though, Todd. So that really jumped out at me whenever it came to the acreage part of the report.
That was also down just 2 million from the USDA's Ag Forum figures, but 6 million overall year over year is a pretty good size jump. It does float, I think, about 10 million acres from top to bottom, relatively speaking, and they come and go, as you mentioned. When they go, do they go to pasture? Do they just lay fallow? What happens with them?
You know, we do know some folks out west have talked about pasture. Of course, but there's been a bright spot in the ag commodity world over the last several months and a couple of years. It's certainly been cattle, live cattle, feeder cattle, anybody in the cattle business has really done well. And so, I do think that some of your fringe acres, some of those areas that have maybe planted corn and areas that they didn't always plant corn in the past, or even soybeans, with $13, $14, $15 beans. Some of those folks, I think, have maybe elected to go ahead and plant maybe some grass, get back into some pasture mix type situation, thinking that this could last a while. Second of all, I think 6 million is, you got to think about the farmer mentality, Todd, as of March 1. As of March 1, we hadn't really started the rally yet. So, you know, I would say sentiment was about as low as it could possibly be. So asking a farmer, hey, are you going to plant a lot of corn this year? I think a lot of folks said, heck no, I'm not doing that. Why would I do such a thing? And so I've got to think that there's a chance that if we look at history, there's no doubt some of these acres can come flowing back into the balance sheet if you get a sizable rally. And I don't necessarily expect one because I've already run the numbers. With 90 million acres planted in normal harvested acres, you know, I'm still coming up with carry out of, let's just say 2.25. And so you know, we're still looking at a pretty darn healthy crop if we have anything close to production last year as far as yield's concerned.
If we end up with a 225, do we move the dial on new crop corn in price very much?
Here's the thing, you know, if you have two straight years with a carryout in excess of two, you got to look back historically. You know, when's the last time, you know, that we had two straight years with a carryout in excess of two? And that would have been back in 2017, 2018. And so 2017, the season average cash price was 336. 2018, it was 361. So, you know, am I expecting to go back under four? I think that the talk about corn going under four for harvest. You'd think maybe with a strong market here on Thursday, hey, maybe that talk's over with. Well, I don't necessarily think so, Todd. I still think that's on the table, that something like that could happen. I think if Mother Nature cooperates, you know, and you have a decent spring, the first thing you could see happen is, you know, acres could tick up just a little bit, first of all. And second of all, again, if Mother Nature cooperates, I think you could be looking at yields approaching 180. And so, you know, in that situation, you're back into that, you know, let's just say 2 to 2.5 billion bushel carry. And if that's the situation, I'm afraid you're still looking at the potential this market going to four this fall.
Yeah, on the short crop, long tail kind of thing, I was just looking back through some of the numbers I have on the willag.org website, and I leave the new crop and old crop stocks, ending stocks up. New crop, of course, is the marketing year we're in for what was harvested last fall. That's at 2.172 billion bushels. The old crop is the previous year, and you tend to forget pretty quickly how small the ending stocks were then at 1.36. I suppose that means that this current marketing year was partially recovery, and it's taken a while for the market to get down to the current levels, where it is, and piling on another year of the same size could, I guess, push you, as you suggest, below that $4 cash mark.
I think it's very possible. And so I'd be looking at this spring as a real opportunity. You know, I think if you come in here next week, and let's say that the forecast looks good for April, and right now it's up in the air, you know, it looks like it could be a little cooler with a few shots of rain here and there. But I do think if you got planters rolling with a good forecast, I think you'd really struggle to see weekly closes higher through the month of April. So we just need to be cautious here. If you get some supportive action in the market, like we're seeing as you and I are talking, we've got to understand that bottom line is there's no guarantees that that's going to stick around for any time. I don't want to get bullish on the best rally we've seen in a while. And so I think that we need to be, you know, more of a reward the rally with incremental sales type mentality than we need to be, hey, we're going to wait on this thing go to $5. Because while it could go to $5, there's no guarantees that it will.
There's still 5 billion bushels of corn on the farm, according to the USDA, as of March 1. That's a lot of corn.
You know, whenever you look at this stocks report, there's no doubt in my mind that well, first of all, versus expectations, it was actually a pretty good report. The problem is that you still have a lot of corn on hand. And so, bottom line is, you know, you've got, you know, enough corn that you could make the case, in the long run, you know, that you're going to be at, oh, I don't know, a carry, well in excess of 2 billion. Now, it was 80 million bushels lower than the average trade guess. And with that being the case, you've got to think maybe this balance sheet tightens up a little bit from that 2.172 you talked about. So that would be a good thing. It wouldn't be a lot, but it would be a good thing. And right now, anything we can do to kind of chip away at that, carry out would certainly be a good thing, because what it would do is it would give you a better opportunity, to see some sort of a rally action on weather issues. So I don't know. As far as beans are concerned, I don't think there's any real story on stocks. Actually, we came up with a few more stocks than what we thought we had. But on corn, it was friendly as far as stocks were concerned as well.
Anything from the wheat numbers that we ought to discuss? Acreage for wheat down 4% from the previous year at 47.498 million acres.
Yeah, I mean, no big surprises there. Bottom line for wheat, we know winter wheat acres were lower. We knew that all along. Whenever you stop and look at, what spring wheat acres is going to look like, boy, I don't know. I'm a little bit surprised that they're calling for an increase from last year. In fact, ag market kind of felt like we might see a decrease, but time will tell as we get through this year. Overall, though, it was a friendly number. I mean, you look and see, why would wheat be going in the direction it is? Well, you're losing over a couple million acres of wheat planted as far as all wheat goes. And so, the wheat market comes in here and posts double digit gains. It's not too surprising.
Summing things up for this last trading day of the month of March, farmers should look to make sales if they can for old crop corn that they've got in the bin and certainly that they've got in storage at the elevator.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to reward sales. I think that's the most appropriate way to look at a market like this, especially when we're staring big carryouts in the face. We're staring, relatively, still got big acreage that we're staring in the face. So I know it was a bullish report for the time being, but I would say it's bullish short term. Longer term, I don't know that we really changed a whole lot.
Anything for new crop as it relates to sales?
Same thing. I think that we have supported ourselves for the time being, but I don't think that that means over the long haul that we can expect the rhetoric on this market to change a whole lot. So I definitely want to be rewarding rallies as we get the opportunity to see those manifest. And so, if we do get a push towards $5, I don't know that I want to wait on five. But I do think that if you run your break evens, you can make money at whatever it is, 490, 480. I think that a person needs to pay attention there.
Anything on soybean?
Yeah, on soybeans, I mean, it's really tough for me to get super friendly in here. We're going to have more beans on hand again this year than what we did a year ago. 86 and a half is going to be one of the bigger acreage numbers that we've seen in quite some time. Whenever it comes to soybeans, I'm just going to look back, and let's see. I guess in 22 we planted 87 and a half, and so. But before that, I'll tell you what, there was several years in here. That we didn't plant a whole lot of soybeans. So 86 and a half million planted acres is a lot of acres. And with 315 that we're carrying in, and then a few more stocks on hand, quite frankly, than what we thought we had, all of a sudden you could be looking at a situation that's all not all that burdensome.
Hey, anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, I mean, definitely excited to wish congratulations to Wayne Nelson as he is going to kind of ride off into the sunset. I know he's still going to be around a little bit here and there. I know you talked about having him as a analyst, but he's one of the guys I cut my teeth on, Todd. So coming into the studio years ago, Wayne was one of the guys that you get to sit next to and learn from. And one thing about Wayne, he's always a gentleman, always great to work with, and always helpful. And it was just a treat to be able to work with him here in the last couple of years of his career as a part of Ag Market.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with agmarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. Where? At willag.org. Just click and play from the website or search us out in your favorite podcast applications. Look for the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Joe Jansen now joins us to discuss today's USDA reports, or two of them. Grain stocks and prospective plantings both were released at 11 a.m. Central Time. Joe, I want to actually start with the grain stocks number. The others were very interesting, and where most of the trade focuses their attention. However, the grain stocks numbers showed just a lot of bushels that we knew were on hand, I suppose, and it put them on the farm, right?
That's right. So the quarterly grain stocks numbers for both corn and soybeans came in line with expectations. about 8.3 billion bushels of corn, 1.8 billion bushels of soybeans. That's pretty much right in line with the average guess from the trade. But the difference was that those bushels are largely or much more substantially than in the past being held on farm. The corn stocks and soybean stocks very much in line last year in terms of off-farm stocks, but on-farm stocks growing by 20 to 25% relative to a year ago at this time. That means, the farmer has a significant marketing challenge ahead of him in what looks like to be, pretty challenging marketing conditions.
Would you argue that this mitigates in any way the prospective plantings figure, which showed acreage for corn on the very low end and below USDA's ag form numbers in that 90 million acre range, and any upside that might produce, especially as it relates to old crop?
Well, I mean, we have seen old crop prices rally here today, but I think the trade is largely reacting to the corn and, to a lesser extent, soybean acreage numbers. The stocks numbers are kind of in line with expectations. It's just a question of where those bushels are being held. It's really the big surprise today was on the acreage side, with USDA's corn acreage number coming in at 90 million acres, or about a million acres below the number that USDA released at its Ag Outlook Forum, and below the average guess from the trade, really right at the bottom end of what analysts were expecting coming into this report.
These are the two reports that tend to set the tone for the next quarter, unless something happens across the planet to disrupt, I believe, the trade in some form. That could be out of South America and drought or really dry conditions for Safrinha corn crop there, or an update in the next April WASDE related to the size of the soybean crop there. Generally not something that takes place here in the United States, possibly a disruption in supply somewhere else. So if this is the tone, and you can tell me whether you think that will actually be the case or not, what happens, generally speaking, for the price of corn and soybeans?
I think we have seen a little bit of a bump on the corn price side here today. So maybe we kind of have maybe a little bit of upside, but I think that upside's limited. We're still, even you plug that 90 million acreage number into a balance sheet, you still get, growing corn stocks at the end of the next marketing year. So I think we're sort of in that place where, prices are maybe a little bit better than we might have thought prior to the report, but not much. There's sort of, I'd say, a limited upside story. Just thinking about the principal crop acreage number, I mean, does this have the potential to kind of induce maybe a few more corn acres? Planters haven't really started rolling yet. Where could we go from here? I think the one thing that historical experience shows us is that, these principal crop acreage numbers estimates, and even the corn and soybean combined acreage estimates have kind of, limited ability to grow from here. Typically, that principal crop acreage number has, might grow by up to about 0.5% or about 1.5 million acres in total. So I think we're sort of, seeing that, maybe we're in a little bit rosier situation than we thought prior to the report. But again, the upside is limited just because we are in a period with, what we expect to be higher stocks if we get, decent weather through the growing season this year.
How much lower were the principal crop acres and the corn and soybean acreage combined then?
Yeah, so principal crop acres were down 6.3 million acres from a year ago, so 319 million acres down to 313 and a bit. The corn and soybean acres were down 1 million acres each from the Ag Outlook Forum estimates that were released back in February. So again, both of those numbers kind of coming down, really sort of nowhere are we seeing kind of, it's not the case that we're sort of shifting to minor crops. It's really kind of a broad reduction in acreage in light of, I think, what is, pretty low expectations in terms of profitability, crop production in 2024.
So how is it that you lose 6 million acres in total on the principal, but only come down 2 million in corn and soybeans?
Well, so 2 million relative to the Ag Outlook Forum numbers, which are a little bit below. So relative to a year ago, we're reducing corn acres quite a bit. We had nearly 94.5 million acres of corn in the U.S. last year. This number's 4.5 million acres below that. We're actually boosting soybean acreage a little bit. And we're seeing that sort of really throughout the soybean producing area, particularly up in the northern Great Plains, you know, large shifts to soybean acres in a place like North Dakota. There's all of that together, but we're seeing, you know, declines in soybean acreage, or sorry, sorghum acreage out in the sort of western Great Plains. Kind of really just kind of minor, small reductions all throughout, with, again, a little bit of a shift between crops as we're going back towards more soybean acres in 24.
I want to lean on you for some marketing expertise here, and we'll start with new crop and then come back to old crop. However, if there were to be a drought or really dry conditions in South America that were to limit the second or Safrinha corn crop in a way that might push the price of corn higher, and producers respond by putting more acres in, a single producer, that is, relatively speaking. When that happens, do they need to market those extra corn acres?
I think the thing that I'm thinking about in terms of, you know, marketing advice is, you know, once you've sort of set a lot of the cost of production for that crop, in terms of, you know, locking in seed, fertilizer, chemical sort of pricing, I think at the same time, you want to be thinking about marketing some portion of that crop and understanding what margins look like. Really having a focus on really being margin focused, in especially in a year like 2024, where prices are lower than they have been and margins are significantly tighter.
On our program, we have talked about both interest and storage charges continuing to pile up. They don't so much on the farm, relatively speaking. Producers don't see those numbers and they don't get charged for them. But do they need to be proactive in their marketing for corn and soybeans?
We're sort of running out of time for producers to be proactive, but yeah, I think if you have still have old crop corn and soybeans in the bin, and the numbers today suggest that a lot of farms do, you know, relative to a year ago or sort of what's typical, the cost of holding onto that grain is piling up. I think, you know, selling on rallies like the ones that we've seen in the corn market today, it doesn't feel like a major rally. We're, I think, somewhere around 15 cents a bushel higher than we were yesterday. But that's a strategy that needs to be seriously considered.
Hey, thank you much.
All right. Have a good day.
Joe Jansen is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Don't forget that we'll record our Commodity Week program this afternoon, post that to the website by about 6 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow, the markets are closed. There will be a closing market report, and we will hear a portion of that Commodity Week, probably all of that Commodity Week program during the first half hour tomorrow, and then a special edition of the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy podcast in the second half hour. The markets again are closed on Friday. They'll resume regular trade on Sunday evening into the Monday session for the trade on Monday. You've been, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the last trading day of the week and the month. You can find us online at willag.org, willag.org, where it is public radio for the farming world. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.